You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 131 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Sunday, November 5th, and from my apartment, I'm Danny Donuts. So Ray, JR, and John are all at BlizzCon right now doing their press stuff, so they aren't going to be joining me this week. So instead of just having me talk to myself for an hour about Hearthstone, which I bet the listeners would love to do, I've brought on two fantastic guests. This week we have Audragon and Sippywee, which if you guys are wild fans like I am, they need no introduction. But since some of you guys are standard players, I'll let you go through and introduce these guys. So, hey, how's it going, Audragon?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, it's great to have you guys on the podcast. Same with you, Sippywee.
Thanks.
So let's get to know you guys a little bit. For some of our guests who might not know who you are, maybe you want to say your name, where you're from, stuff like that.
Should I just start?
Should I start?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, you go. You go.
I'm Audragon. I'm 20 and from Vancouver. Things I like to do outside of Hearthstone. Since I started streaming, I haven't played much other games, but I used to play like Clash Royale. Fun fact about myself. I don't have fun fact. I play Hearthstone for fun. why Wild? I play both formats, so I just like playing both formats because they're different decks are being played, so I can face different decks and play different decks myself. I like playing both formats. I focus more on Wild.
All right, let's hop over to Sippywee and just we'll get to the rest of the questions after he's gone through and introduced himself a little bit too.
Yeah, okay, sure. So yeah, my real name is Simon. I'm 23 years old and I live in Denmark. I'm playing Wild mainly because I played Standard in the past and then I swapped to Wild like a year ago. Almost. I think it's because the format is so much more, it's much more complex and all the out of game stuff matters a lot more, like deck building and choosing tech cards and stuff like that, because the card pool is so big. So I guess I enjoy the out of game stuff a lot, and that's why I think Wild is more enjoyable.
Nice. So most of our viewer base is Standard, like I said earlier. So, I mean, if you guys want to say an accomplishment or two that you guys have gotten, because obviously you guys are typically really high top Wild finishers. If you want to say something that you're particularly proud of as an accomplishment, let these guys know how good you guys actually are.
Tournament-wise, I haven't done much. I've participated in TESPA and got to the top 64 with my team. And Wild, I finished rank 1 3 times now. Last season, rank 2, and the season before, rank 3.
Wasn't there one season where you held number 1 for the entire month?
Yes, it was month of June, I believe. Or July. June or July, I don't remember. Yes. I believe I was the first legend as well, and... I only lost rank 1 once for like 6 hours and then got it back.
And you, Sippy?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I also finished number one on EU instead of NA a couple of times, and NA once too. On NA, I don't have a very good deck, so it's a lot harder there. But I guess maybe I'm a bit more proud of like creating content. Control Shaman, for example, is a deck that I guess I didn't create it all by myself, but most people think that I was the one to popularize it, at least. I think that's one of the cooler things. And I hit number two standard a couple of times, like 100 years ago.
Nice. So, because you're both like high legend wild finishers, we have a mix of listeners at different ranges of skills. Would you have any advice to someone who's trying to get a little bit better in the game, like what they could do to be better, whether it to get their next landmark, getting to rank 15, rank 10, rank 5, legend, or maybe even push you out of that number one legend spot?
My advice would be watch other people play. You can see what plays they make, and you can compare it to what you would do. Also, I would rewatch your replays if you can. See what misplays you made during the game. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think it's very different depending on where you are. Like, if you want to get ranked 15, I think it's very different from wanting to get high legend. In high legend, I would recommend just figuring out which of the tier 1 decks is the best one for the current meta, and which one fits your style better, and then just play that a lot to play that optimally, because it's very much about grinding and playing optimally the whole way. But if you're ranked 15, you might also just like want to figure out more or less the basics of the game, because it's more about playing optimally than playing a good deck. Yeah, so I think it's a bit different, but for sure, like replaying your own games and figuring out if you could do anything differently.
Cool, sweet. So let's move on to our week in Hearthstone. So if you want to give a little recap, so the last season finished. So if you want to say where you ended up or stuff that you did throughout the week, anything in particular, let's start with you, All Dragon.
Last season, I believe I finished rank 2, maybe 3, but probably 3, 2. I didn't see myself drop. Right now, I'm working with Reno Mage. I'm trying to make that good. I was playing it earlier today. Yeah. I made it so I can beat Reno Priest fairly well. I have like Geist to destroy their one cost spells, and yeah.
Cool. How about you, Sippy?
Yeah, I finished number 2 on EU after like I fought for number 1 for like 1.5 hours, where we just swapped like each of us won a game for like 1.5 hours, and in the end I didn't have time to finish my last game. And finished number 2, and I think I finished top 20 on NA, but I sleep when the season ends, so I never figure out before I see the actual list. I haven't played a lot of Wild, actually a lot of Hearthstone after the season ended, but I think I want to try to get Legend and Standard, because people say it's a lot harder, so I want to figure out if it actually is a lot harder.
Cool. Yeah, so I ended up finishing in Dumpster Legend somewhere around like 199 or something. But this week, similar to you, Aw Dragon, I've been messing around with Reno Mage, and Frostless Janna is broken. Like, playing against like Reno Priest, when you have Frostless Janna, it creates just so much value, and you're able to burn your opponent down. So I've been messing around with builds for that. and I'm climbing up. I think that there is definitely potential in Reno Mage. Yeah. So let's head on to the big announcements that came out at BlizzCon this weekend. They announced the new expansion, and the expansion's called Kobolds and Catacombs. So this expansion is essentially like a dungeon style. You're plundering for treasure, old school World of Warcraft type of stuff. And some details for the set, there's 135 new cards that are coming out, and it's told that it's going to come out at the start of December. So somewhere around that part. And Blizzard typically likes to take their holidays at the end of December. So when they say the start of December, it's definitely going to be like probably the first week of December. A couple new things that are coming out with this expansion are the there's a new keyword called Recruit, which I've dubbed the Yashiraj effect, where you'll go and pull a minion out of your deck. So that's one of the new features, and every class gets their own legendary as well. So you're going to have a legendary weapon alongside the normal class legendary. So during this, there was around 14 cards that were shown, and the rest of the cards are going to be coming out on November 20th. So we're going to do a quick overview of some of the cards, get our opinions on them, and see what's going on with that. We'll get to maybe around 8 to 10 of them, see how that's going. So the first card we're going to review is Marin the Fox, which is actually a little bit special because starting on Monday the 6th, everyone is going to get a copy of Marin the Fox, and you're going to be able to play it straight off the bat. So what is Marin the Fox? Marin the Fox is an 8-mana 6/6, which has a battle cry. Summon a 0/8 treasure for your opponent, and you break it for awesome loot. And the awesome loot is essentially a treasure card. And the treasure cards do crazy things. Like there's one that's 3-mana, draw a card, fill up your entire hand with that card. There's another 3-mana one called Wondrous Wand that is draw 3 cards, reduce them to 0. Another 3-mana spell, Zerug's Crown. You discover a legendary minion and summon 2 copies of it. And the 3-mana Golden Kobold, which is similar to the Golden Monkey. It's a 3-mana 6/6. It's taunt, and its battle cry is replace your hand with legendary minions. So what do you guys think about this card?
8-mana seems too slow for such an effect. Maybe some kind of Divine Spirit Inner Fire type of effect could happen, like with Potion Madness. Other than that, it seems too slow for 8-mana.
Yeah, I agree. I also, like, what are the alternatives? It's like Ragnaros, it's the Lich King and stuff like that. And Lich King is a taunt. I think that's the only reason why it is played. And also it has an immediate effect. Like this card can be silenced, or it can even be buffed. Like imagine you play it against a paladin and he plays Blessing of Kings, and then he has a sick minion that you can't ever kill. So I think it's a cool card, and it's cool that everybody gets it, and also free to play players gets a very value oriented huge card. But I don't think it's competitive.
Sure.
Even though the loot is very, very good.
It does look pretty cool. And do you guys remember when Volcano Sword came out early and everyone tinkered around with it, even though it wasn't good? I bet there'll be a couple games where you're playing on ladder and then someone just gonna pop the card down and you're gonna be like, oh my god, this is crazy. It's gonna make a couple of really fun moments.
Yeah, sure. And also in Arena, at least, I guess Volcano Sword was a rare, right? So you saw it a lot more often. I think this card will be very good in Arena, probably. And when you face it in Arena, it will be very cool for sure.
I don't think so in Arena, because you do have to deal 8 damage, and this is a 6/6, and Arena is very tempo based, right?
Oh, it's a 6/6. I actually thought it was better than that.
And you lose out 8 damage to activate to break the treasure chest, right?
Yeah, sure. Then it's even worse. I thought it was an 8/8, I think.
I don't know. What happens if you combo with like a Shadow Word Pain or something? Like, that's something easy to get rid of a low health minion instead of just the 8 damage. Maybe use an equality or something.
Still, it's 10 mana, right? I can see it with an equality clear afterwards or something, but I think it's too rare. Like, it won't happen often enough.
Yeah, it's like 13 mana in total for that effect. And it costs you a Shadow Ward Pain as well. So two cards and a 13 mana for one of those treasures. Is it worth it?
And also, you can't choose the treasure yourself, right?
Yeah.
No.
When you need value, you might just get something that isn't high value and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think there are a lot of very very high impact and high value finishers in the game. And a lot of them don't see play at all because, it's a very consistent slot in every deck. And I think you always need the immediate effect, like Ysera is played sometimes, Lich King is played pretty often, Ragnaros, all the other Rafarm and stuff, they are just very slow. Even Rafarm gets an immediate effect. It's probably a bit faster than this card, but it's still too slow.
Sure.
Yes, I agree.
All right, let's move on to one of the next cards, Dragon Soul, which is a priest weapon. And that still shocks me every single time I say it. A weapon for priest. That blows my mind. But Dragon Soul, it's a 3-mana card. It's a 0 attack, 3 durability. And it reads, after you cast 3 spells in a turn, summon a 5/5 dragon. So this is an interesting card. It has, obviously we can't really evaluate it too hard until we see if there are any, like, complementary cards that go along with it, which I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up happening. But, I don't know, what do you guys think about the card?
I like it. It doesn't lose Dura, so you can use it infinitely as long as you still have it on equipped. And you could do like Radiant Elemental and spam Shadow Visions to activate this. I'm not sure if you can use this multiple times in one turn. Maybe you can play like 2 5/5s.
I believe you can do, okay. You can get it off as many times as you can in a turn.
Yeah, it's similar to Sharazin, the Rogue Legendary, where you have to play 4 cards, but this is much easier with 3 spells. And you have stuff like Radiant to make your spells cheaper and... Yeah, I think it's strong, and it might get even stronger with more cards released.
Yeah, I really don't know. I think it's so cool that every class gets a weapon, and if they are all good or all played at least, then oozes and stuff will just be auto includes and very very strong. Sure. I think this card is probably better, but still a bit similar to Beneath the Ground, right? That you pay 3 mana for nothing. And then at some point you'll get a reward. I think this is better though, and you can build your deck around it instead of just like maybe it happens the turn after or maybe 10 turns after. And also it's good with Lyra or Auctioneer or Priest actually has a lot of cheap spells. So it might see play, but I'm not sure it will be played because playing nothing turn 3, at least in Wild, it's very expensive to just flow 3 mana.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, staying on the same vein, we have the mage weapon, Alunith, which is 6 mana. It's a 0/3 weapon as well, but its effect is at the end of your turn, draw 3 cards. And when I saw this, I was pretty interested because this lets you rebuild some decks that you have in the past where you would normally go and like put in a bunch of card draw into a deck. And now you can go in and play something like this where you're guaranteed 3 card draws with it. And if it goes off again, you get 6. So maybe you can go and like, obviously getting to 6 mana and to be able to play it and have it on there is a little difficult, but if you can get this out, you could potentially go and change your deck, the way you build it, to have a little bit more burn in it, so you can go and just continuously blast your opponent with burn spells.
Yeah, it's definitely like a tempo / aggro deck. You can keep refilling your hand every turn, and similar to Nourish, one for one more mana, and it forces them to remove it, or you'll just out-tempo them, likely, or out-value them. I like it. It seems strong.
Yes, yeah. I think it's a very, very interesting card because it lets you cycle so, like, super fast if you want to get a combo. The problem is that if you want to cycle fast, you also want other cycle cards. And then you might just overdraw a lot when you actually manage to play this this weapon. So I also think it's in tempo and in aggro decks, like a Jeeves or like a Sprint or something. And in those decks, it might be like it might be very, very strong, because you can just curve out a lot faster and then play this turn six. The thing is that turn six is still pretty far away, so I'm not sure if I'm not sure if it's too late at that point to get three extra draws. And also, I guess the key thing is if you manage to, like, if you can build your deck around it and still not lose all the games where you don't draw it.
Yeah. What do you guys think about weapon removal now? Now that they're promoting a bunch of class weapons that didn't normally have weapons, do you think like Ooze or maybe Harrison Jones is going to be required in every deck? Or do you think it's going to be similar to how Black Knight was at the start of last expansion, where like everyone thought that Lich King was going to be really powerful, so a bunch of people put the Black Knight in all the decks when it was there for maybe about a week or so, but then it slowly left the meta. Do you guys think that weapon removal is going to become necessary, or do you think that maybe you can get away with not playing some sort of weapon removal?
I definitely think weapon removal will be a lot more common. Especially now, since Warrior got nerfed, Ooze is rarely seen. But Harrison Jones likely going to be part of in the meta again. Destroying one of the weapons is drawing three cards because then they never lose Dur.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's insane. It's a nerf with a 5/4. And Ooze is likely going to be played too. Maybe decks might even run two weapon destructions, but I'm not sure about aggro decks. They might run Ooze, maybe, if the weapons are very strong. But yeah, hard to say as of now.
Yeah, I think it all depends if the weapons will see play, right? That's all that matters. So if most classes will play the weapons available, I think the weapon removal will be very effective and also a lot better than Black Knight, because the issue with Black Knight is that the card is just so bad as a 4/5 for 6. The Oozes are actually decent, and Harrison Jones is also decent. So Harrison Jones is... Black Knight is just too bad as a tech card. It's just like the old Hemet, kind of, that even when it works, it's not game-winning. So I guess if like two or three non-weapon classes will use weapons, then we will see Oozes for sure. And also, I agree with the Harrison point that when weapons don't lose durability, you want it.
Cool. So let's move on to one of the new effects that is going to be brought in for the 6th expansion. It's called Spellstones. And essentially what happens is when you draw one of these cards in your deck that has the name Spellstone, it has a primary effect. So for Druid, their Spellstone is Lesser Jasper Spellstone, and it's deal 2 damage to a minion for 1 mana. But when it's in your hand, if you gain 3 armor, it upgrades. And then at that point, it stays 1 mana, but you deal 4 damage. And if you gain 3 more armor again on top of that, it becomes a 1 mana deal 6 damage. So what do you guys think of this effect where you have something in your hand and you have something to some like sort of mini quest to do, and once you complete it, your card becomes better?
I like the Druid one, Lesser Jasper Spellstone. 1 mana, 2 damage is, like, decent. It's not, like, amazing, but 4 damage for 1 mana, that's great. And 6 damage, insane. The Shaman one, I wouldn't say, it seems way too slow.
And for our audio listeners, the Shaman one is called Lesser Sapphire Spellstone. It's 7 mana, and it reads, summon 1 copy of a friendly minion, and you overload 3 mana crystals to upgrade. So once you overload for 3 mana crystals, it becomes summon 2 copies of a friendly minion, and then once you overload 3 more, it becomes summon 3 copies of a friendly minion.
Yeah,
it's really like I like the idea of the effect. At least I haven't really I know what the specific cards do, but just the idea that you can put anti aggro cards in your deck that grow and still are valuable in slower matchups. I think that's the main that is where it will be useful. Like the Shaman card, getting 3 copies of a minion is obviously a lot better, but you're never going to use it before you overload because it's still turn 7. So that card might as well just summon 3 copies. I guess that would make it too strong. I think the way the cards will be good is if it is actually a decent counter to aggro, like a 1 mana removal spell that can grow and get even better.
Cool. Now let's discuss this next effect that is new, this expansion. It's called the Unidentified Cards. So the one that they showed us was a priest card, 3 mana. It's called Unidentified Elixir. And the card reads, give a minion +2/+2, and it gains a bonus effect when you draw it into your hand. So when you draw it into your hand, it can get 1 of 4 elixirs. And those 4 elixirs are, it adds Death Rattle, return this minion to your hand, or it adds Lifesteal to the card, or it gives Divine Shield to the card, or it summons a 1/1 copy of the card. So, I mean, this is an interesting way to put RNG on a card, right? Where you don't know what type of effect you'll have on the card until it's in your hand.
It's an interesting card. In WoW, it's not going to be that... you can compare it to Velen's Chosen. That's the easiest comparison. It's 3 mana buff. I'd much rather play Velen's most of the time. Maybe the Divine Shield sometimes would be better, but I don't see it ever replacing Velen's Chosen. Maybe if you want to play both, but...
The summon a 1/1 copy is pretty interesting. If you can get that on some high power Death Rattle or something, maybe you have a Sylvanas on board, and then you go and you make a second Sylvanas or something. It's interesting like that. And you can go, I mean, obviously it's inconsistent. That's the issue. If you're going to get one of these 4, you want to have the ability for it to be good in the majority of the situations rather than have a 1 out of 4 where this one thing is going to happen. But I mean, it definitely adds some spice to the deck building where you can go in and say, when is it good for me to have this effect, all of these effects? You have to find a place in some deck where most of the effects are good, rather than just one specifically.
That's true.
Yeah, I think... I'm not sure I like the design of this card, because it is so weird to figure out if you want it in your deck or not. It's kind of like Discover, but you can't really choose yourself. So I don't think this card is strong enough to see play. It's probably a control card because you can put it on a minion and get it back to your hand, or like you said, use it on Sylvanas if you summon a 1/1 copy. But I don't think it's strong enough to see play. And I think it's good that this card is a fun card that is not competitive, because it can be game deciding which effect you get.
So another card that showcases one of the new effects is Guild Recruiter, which is a 5 mana 2/4, and its battle cry is recruit a minion that costs 4 or less. So when you play it, if you have any minions in your deck that cost 4 or less, it pulls it out. So this is like, I don't know, you have an undercosted minion that has an effect that obviously it's good in some sort of combo deck. That's where you want to be playing something like this. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Like, the best 4-mana minion, like, stat-wise, you could pull this out would be the 4-mana 7-7.
Yeah, Flame Reef Faithless.
Exactly. I don't know if you could think of any, like, combos or anything immediately. Obviously, there's going to be some room to mess around with this, and you can go and find maybe some hidden secret combo that will be pretty good with it, but at first glance, I'm not really sure of anything. Nothing comes to mind.
Yeah. Doesn't seem that good so far. Unless some kind of broken combo. But there's four drops. What kind of four drop would you want to play on turn five? It's just pretty much a 2/4 with a four drop. It's like playing a 1-mana 2/4.
I guess the only reason you would play it is if you find some control deck that only runs 1 4-drop or less that you want every time or something like that, but I don't see it happen. I think the recruit mechanic is very interesting, though. They have to be careful not to give something stupid to Big Priest or something like that, because it's already ridiculous. There was also, like, I don't know, maybe half a year ago, there was this Shaman deck with Madame Goya and Reincarnate and stuff like that, that also pulls out big stuff from the deck. So if you could put in recruit stuff in that deck, it might be actually very good.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It has to recruit randomly and not only four or less for this mechanic to be good, I think. Because you have to be able to build a deck around recruit when it pulls random minions.
People don't like Big Priest, right? I'm not a fan that they're making a mechanic out of this effect. Like, your opponent pulls out a Ysera or something like that. Or, like, Deathwing on turn 6. That's not fun, exactly. It forces them to have the answer.
So, I mean, to do that, I think you have to print some type of early removal. Obviously, they have another card that uses the recruit mechanic in Druid. It's 6-mana, recruit a minion. It's called Gather Your Party. So, I mean, maybe if you're playing something like a big Druid list where you want to pull something out and get it out early. But, I mean, I don't know.
Isn't it in Warrior?
It's Warrior. Relatively,
it's Warrior. Quick.
Oh, that's Warrior?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Never mind.
It's big Warrior. Big Warrior.
Big Warrior.
Yeah,
but I think Big Warrior is not as good as Big Priest. So
yeah, definitely.
That's something. But what if you just play Pirate Warrior? Oh, it doesn't work. It's still random.
No.
I thought that you could play Pirate Warrior with two of these and then Ragnaros or something.
I mean, I have tested Giant's Pirate Warrior, and it doesn't work. So...
Hopefully they don't give any good recruit effect to a priest. That's the scariest class to give it to.
Or
they already had Barnes and Shadow Essence.
If you make it like something that costs 2 or lower or something. I like how they did it with Guild Recruiter so that it was like mana specific. It wasn't just recruit.
Yeah, exactly.
Mana, it was recruit something that fits some criteria.
Yeah.
Because then you can go, obviously, like Big Priest and take advantage of the ability to go and get some really big minions and only play big minions in your deck. So, like that, it'll be interesting otherwise.
And it also makes it less random that you know it will pull from this pool of cards, right? I think that's good. Also, you can't give a recruit unless you, like, you recruit to Druid or Hunter or Priest, I think is all bad if you don't say it's only small minions, because just Ramp Druid and Giant Hunter and stuff, it will just go out of control.
Alright, so we'll jump on to the last card that we're going to discuss today, and that is the Warlock Legendary, and that is Rin, the First Disciple. So the card is a 6-mana minion, and it is a 3/6 taunt, and its death rattle is add the first seal to your hand. And the first seal is a 5-mana spell, which reads summon a 2/2 demon, and it adds the second seal to your hand. And you keep getting 5-mana seals with summoning a slightly bigger demon each turn until you get to the final seal, which summons a 6/6 demon, and then it puts a 10 mana 10/10, which destroys your opponent's deck. That's a crazy effect.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like Jacred, but this one sucks. You'll be dead by then. How will you pull this off against Aggro, Emma?
It's 41 mana to pull off. To destroy your opponent's deck. The only class maybe you could use this against is maybe Control Warrior. Maybe. So they can like Dirty Rat once you put it in your hand, so they have counterplay to it too. So it's so bad. No.
We'll see. I mean, there could be some tools. Maybe you get some. I mean, right now there aren't any tools where you could make this work, but. I mean, double summoning portal shenanigans. You get something ridiculous. I mean, this card is not one that's designed for competitive players. This is something
it's fun. It's very fun.
Yeah, of course.
Great counter to Milhouse Mana Stone.
but you have to play. The disciple has to die. That's the problem. It's a death rattle. It's not even a battle cry. It makes it even worse. Yeah, you can silence it. That's so.
But you can get it back from the soft though, if that's ever relevant.
Yeah, that's true. You can also do like Blood Bloom, to play the 5 mana, make it 2 mana instead.
You can do that 2 times.
Yeah, 2 times, save you 6 mana.
But at first, I saw this card and thought it was very cool and very ballsy to let you discard your opponent's deck. But it's not like it will never be a surprise. You know, it will happen in 6 turns or something like that. So I think that, yeah, it's bad, but it's probably fun. You try to stall the game and then you can life tap and still win fatigue wars. But it's a very cool mechanic, but I think it's too bad.
Yeah, it's not competitive, but it'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And I think I'll try it if I get the card.
See how many wins, how many games you can win with it.
It could be a quest to win with the
card. Yeah. That's your life goal. Win with the destroyer. What's it called? Yeah, devourer.
So next week we're going to wrap up all the cards, but we're going to move on. One thing, reminder, is that the golden pack that you can get from having Twitch Prime is now available. It's going to be available on Tuesday or Wednesday this week. So if you have Twitch Prime, you are going to be able to get the golden pack. And we've discussed that previously on the show, but if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it through your Twitch account and get Twitch perks. And you also get 1 free sub. So if you want to sub to some of your favorite streamers, whether it be Aw Dragon or me or Sippy, I don't think you have a Twitch or you haven't been on it recently.
Yeah, I have one actually, but I don't use it yet.
But if you want to give a sub to one of your favorite streamers, feel free to drop that over. All right, let's jump over into a little bit of the meta. So this week being a wild week, we're going to be discussing the wild meta. And a little bit more focused on, we're going to talk about some of the meta reports. Because we have some of the guys who really have a grasp on the wild meta. And they really understand some of the things that other wild players might not recognize. So obviously with a smaller user base, our meta reports come out a little bit less frequently. So how much do you guys think that our meta reports really like affect the meta? How accurate do you think they've been? Like, what are your guys' thoughts on wild meta reports?
It definitely affects the meta. It changes what you see. People would play. They'll net deck those decks, and you definitely see them more common. Like Reno Priest was seeing less play until like you see other people playing it, right?
Yeah, I also think it affects the meta quite a lot, especially. Like above rank 5, in Wild, you will still see a lot of players who read the reports but just decide to try and figure out their own decks and just having fun. But a lot of people actually try to win as much as possible and tries to play the best decks, and they will often just net deck just like in Standard. And we have some pretty good meta reports, like right now. We haven't had for a long time, but now there's like Vicious Syndicate report and Temple Storm meta snapshot, and also just looking at the Hearthstone replays website with all the stats and check out win rates of different decks. So it's definitely possible to figure out the meta by reading.
Sure. And one of the interesting things that I see is that people don't really understand where each snapshot is coming from. So like Tempo Storms is a little bit more expert knowledge based, and like something like Vicious Syndicate is more grounded in analytics. So one of the things that I like to point out to people when I talk about meta reports is that the Vicious Syndicate data is more centered around the average player, where you'll see the win rates for a deck, like let's say maybe Reno Priest, and in Standard recently they had it as like a tier 3 deck, but some of the times you'll have situations where someone might not play the deck optimally, you might not be playing an optimal list, so sometimes the statistic gets skewed a little bit. And for the average player on ladder, you'll see something, that win rate will be around there for the average player. Whereas, I mean, Sipiwi and I are both on the Tempo Storm meta snapshot, so we try to gear our play towards the legend players, for people who are like a top legend, and a snapshot of things that you'll see around there while people are playing what we currently believe to be optimal builds, or decks that are like how they're being played in an optimal style. If you guys have any comments on the differences between reports and how you feel things go.
Yeah, like I think it's pretty much on point what you said, that for like basing everything around the average player in statistics, and just like it's kind of like research with quantitative and qualitative research, right? That some experts on Temple Storm think these decks are the best when played well. Although it like Vicious Syndicate still has data that is only above rank 5, so I would think that that most people there played at least on a decent level. But the thing is that like Reno Priest, and as an example, a lot of people play very, very bad Reno Priest lists and play actually different lists, because there isn't an OTK list and there's just value. So the decks are not even the same. I think one of the main points about statistics, like Vicious Syndicate, is that statistics will never lie. They will always tell the truth, but the reasons behind them are always unclear. So one example is that in Wild, I think it's Secret Paladin has always been tier 1, and nobody's playing the deck almost. But for some reason, and I am not sure why, it is always tier 1. Maybe a couple of players, like let's say 5 players on Europe, plays the deck to Legend every season, and nobody else. That might be one reason, I'm not sure. And I think that's kind of one of the drawbacks to going full on statistics without really analyzing afterwards.
Yeah. The problem with Temple Storm in a way is that it can get biased at times, where decks could, the tiering could be, is very, it could be adjusted because a player plays it a lot and they think it's strong, or if they haven't played it themselves, they might not think it's as strong. Where Vicious Syndicate can't be biased, it's all statistics, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so that's kind of like the human way of making like the same mistake, right? That maybe you fall in love with the deck, or you play it for 100 games or like 50 games and you don't face the counter at all, or you don't draw patches at all. So I agree that there are 100% the drawbacks to both the things, and I think both the sites are actually great. That's great stuff to read and very
yeah helpful. It's nice to have both, see, compare, or what's the difference, maybe go halfway. Maybe you say this deck is like tier one, this deck, but it's tier two and then different. Maybe it's tier two instead. Go halfway.
Yeah, sure. And also, I think it's a matter of taste. What you like? Like if you like statistics overall, and if you know about statistics, then Vicious Syndicate will give you a lot of stuff, because you will get to pick out the flaws. If you see a matchup without enough games to actually say anything about it, then you'll know and you'll not listen. But if you don't really know anything about statistics, like I don't know a lot about it, then maybe you think that Reno Mage against, I don't know, Sue is favored because after 40 games of Reno Mage against Sue, it won like 70%, but it might just be RNG.
And Sippy, you also had a meta survey that you did recently. Do you want to go a little bit into what that was?
Yeah, sure, I can do that. I just wanted to figure out what opinion the overall wild player had. So what I did was I made like four different surveys, which were basically the same. It was a huge tier list, and everybody could report once if they think, like, they rated each deck, what tier did they think it was. And then when I had like 300 answers, it was all grouped into what rank you were on ladder at the time. Then I just made a tier list based on that. And I think that it was surprisingly accurate, the tier list. It was very close to what Timberstorm published later.
Yeah. It definitely looked really good. I got a lot of information out of that. And there were a couple of decks that my initial thoughts on were different. But after a little bit more play, it definitely went in and it definitely helped me guide my opinion on it. Like, one of the things that I've been a little bit strong on is Giants Hunter, and I may have voiced a little bit about how Giants Hunter is a little bit strong in the beginning of when that happened, and obviously being a member of the Tempo Storm meta report, it might have came off a little bit higher in certain points on that, but my opinion after seeing more play of it and looking at how the general consensus is, it helped me guide, and seeing some of the data from a Vicious Syndicate as well, helped me guide my opinion and change exactly what I was thinking about that. So it definitely helps to be able to look at all of the meta reports and take them all in and analyze them independently and all that stuff. So yes. Any last words on meta reports before we head on to our wild section?
I have nothing.
Nothing I could think of at the moment.
All right, cool. So for this next section, we're just going to talk about Wild and some of the main differences between Wild and Standard for some of our viewers who might not be too familiar with it. I definitely want to touch in like ladder differences and other things like that. So let's start off with the age-old question. Is it easier to climb in Standard, or is it easier to climb in Wild? And Sippy, you had mentioned earlier that you were going to do a Standard climb to see how it's going. And Audragon, you also said that you climb both of the ladders regularly, and you end up Standard Legend as well as Wild Legend each month. So yeah. I think that you guys would be pretty good to discuss this with.
Generally, I have a higher win rate in Wild. So you could say that Standard is a little harder, maybe like 2 to 5% difference usually. Well, it's a lot easier to figure out the meta in Wild because there's a lot less players. So you can tech your deck against the meta, where it's much harder in standard.
Really? I would think that it's the opposite, because of the few players, there isn't going to be so much repetition. Where, like, you have in Wild, obviously the optimized deck on your climb is, you're going to see different versions of each deck, where someone puts their own spin on a deck and something like that. Where you go in and you're playing, let's say you're saying you're playing against a Reno Priest list. Obviously, once you get up past rank 5 or whatever, you'll see similar lists, but obviously when you're on your climb from 15 to 5, you will see, like, drastically different builds. Like, I saw someone playing Reno Priest earlier today, where they were playing Lich King, Dr. Boom, Raza, Anduin combo, along with, like, a bunch. It was probably the most greedy Reno Priest deck I've ever seen. So, how do you go? Do you think that it's easier for everyone, or is it just necessarily easier for someone who's going to be playing up at Wild, up at the Legend ranking once you get from 5 on? Do you think it's a little bit harder for people to play around when you're in the lower ranks because there's so much different stuff out there?
In lower ranks, it's likely the similar. Where higher ranks, I feel it's much easier in Wild. Because I can usually get a feel of the meta after playing a couple games or respecting other people, and I can usually figure out which deck to climb. That's how I climb with, like, any Finn back in the day. I figured out it's pretty strong against what people were playing. People were playing, like, Reno Lock, and I was, like, being that very consistently. In standard, it's much harder to, like, try to target a certain deck where sometimes, like, you face, like, well, right now, like, Highlander Priest and or Temple Rogue, you have to play, like, different decks to beat, try if you're trying to beat each deck, right? So it's harder to get, like, an in-between deck to try to beat.
It's harder to take in standard just in general, because there's not a lot of tech cards. There's not a lot of cards in general. I think though it's pretty clear that finishing high in Legend is much easier in Wild. Sure. You also see standard players go to Wild, and like the very good standard players go to Wild and they just win 80% of their games all the way to the top. Probably not in top 10 or anything, but like the first part of it. So overall, and probably just in general, no matter what time of the month or where you are on ladder, Wild is a bit easier. Maybe the only exception is when you're low ranked, because there will be more good players that just play a couple of games in Wild and always hang around below rank 5, even though they are probably Legend players. But some people say that Wild can be more difficult if you don't get into the format and stuff. And I think that's kind of true, but even if you don't really understand Wild, I still think it's easier to climb there.
Sure. So typically what we've seen recently, the Wild meta in the past has shifted somewhat similarly. Obviously there's been differences, but it's similar to the standard one. What do you guys think this is? Some of the things that I thought of was like the power creep of some of the cards, where you'll have some of the Knights of the Frozen Thrones cards, like especially like Bone Mare, finding its way into a handful of Wild decks, whereas like the meta shifts similarly to standard due to that, due to some of the higher powered cards. Or do you think it's just because there's less Wild players in general, and therefore people who are like copying decks will take something from standard and then modify upon that? Do you think that it's some combination of both, or why do you think that the meta is sometimes similar to standard?
Yeah, I say a lot of people just change standard decks into a Wild deck. So they don't put much thought into making their maybe a new creation in Wild. And yeah, the power creep too, stuff like Anduin, so good that they don't even need Reno to play Highlander Priest. It's just strong. Like, DKs in general are all very strong, and some could be some are strong enough to be played in Wild consistently, like Malfurion as well.
I also think it's just because you get used to the Wild decks. Because, like, right now there are still Wild decks that don't exist in Standard that are played at a high level, like Reno Mage, Reno Lock, Recruit Paladin, stuff like that, but you're used to that. And also, the cards in Reno Priest right now that are from Wild, you don't really think that they are part of the win condition, but they are still a huge part of the deck, like Reno Jackson. Imagine Reno Jackson was the newest card, and we play a deck around Reno Jackson and say it's a Reno deck, which is also in Standard. I don't know if that's a good example, but Reno Priest in Wild and Reno Priest in Standard is not the same deck, even though the win condition is the same.
Sure.
But also,
you have like Spawn of Shadows too. You have different ways of finishing at the end. It's not
exactly.
It's a deck.
Well, yes, it is, but it's a little bit better in Wild because of. I mean, I believe that Spawn of Shadows is better than Velen.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Like, it's not even a question.
Yeah.
But I also think it is probably power creep right now, at least. In the past, maybe like 3-4 months ago, we had a very different meta right after Reno decks rotated out, and they were still in Wild. So back then the metas were different. But right now probably the last expansion had a lot of good cards. Also Prince Kaleseth as an example.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like Bolmer, even Scalebane, well less so in Wild, but sometimes sees play, but Bolmer sees every so often. Zoo plays it. Those are strong neutral cards that are power creep. Like, people play Bolmer over Boom now a lot of time.
That's the thing that shocks me. Essentially, Wild becomes what decks are synergized better. So if Dr. Boom synergizes a little bit better, something maybe like mid-range Paladin that wants to have more bodies on the board might like Dr. Boom a little bit better than Scalebane. Whereas Dr. Boom in the past was good because it was the best card at that mana spot. And now, because of the vast amount of cards that you could put in at 7 mana, Dr. Boom might not be the best card. I think that the Bone Mare might be a good, a really overpowered card.
It's just what happens in Wild, that the average card in a deck gets stronger and stronger. So the cards that were just very strong overall in the past are closer to average now. Dr. Boom is still a good card, but he's not overpowered at all. I think one of the only decks I see him used in right now is in Reno Mage because of synergy with Jaina's hero power, right?
Yeah.
So there has to be synergy now. The card is just not OP as a card.
Yeah, Bowman has immediate effect. And yeah, the taunt is great. Like, it's good against aggro. And dealing four damage charge, basically.
All right, so on to some of the things that come up in Wild that might not happen to Standard viewers is counter queuing. So in case you don't know about this and you're a Standard player, on your climb for Wild, it is very frequent that, especially if you're ahead of the pack like you guys would be when you're starting your climb, you run into the same people over and over. And even for the average player, like I got to a slow start last month, and I'm climbing up halfway through, I'll run into the same person over and over on my climb. And due to the small Wild player base, I'll have a couple of them on my friends list. So we'll go in, and if we're 2 or 3 ranks apart, we still can go for like the normal ladder, but Legend. We'll be 2 or 3 ranks apart, and we'll still queue into each other. So how does this affect the metagame of playing where you know that you're running into the same people over and over? So how does that really change your opinion on what you're doing when you're playing?
Usually I wait. If I think my opponent's going to counter queue, I wait. It sucks, but if you don't want to get counter queued, or if you could also counter queue yourself or switch to a deck that you feel like it beats it, but I generally don't like to do that. I've done it before, but it's not like too fun in my opinion.
I think different people have different ways of dealing with it, right? So some people wait like you just said, for 2-3 minutes, or if he's on your friend list, until you know he's in game. Other people just play this mind game, mini game thing, where you try to predict what deck your opponent will play, and other people just don't mind and just queue the same deck still, or maybe they don't own different decks so they have to play it. Personally, I've done different stuff. If I'm trying to hit number one or protect it or stuff like that, I will just wait every game and play the deck I think is the best. But I can also, if I know my opponent will counter queue, I'll try to predict what he will do and try to outplay him out of game, at least when I feel like it. And if I think he's bad. Some people try to counter queue with bad decks that are only good in that specific matchup. And if that is the case, you can just swap to a deck that beats like the last two or three decks he played. So against some people, it's just very, very easy to beat them if they counter queue.
Mm-hmm. And what do you guys think about the small player base of Wild? Like, let's say everyone knows everyone, especially at like Legend, you'll know that a specific player is playing one type of deck. Like if you queue into Scorpion, you know that he's going to be playing Control Warrior, or if you queue into me, I'm going to be memeing around. So how does that help you in your climb? What do you guys typically think about that?
I could generally guess what people playing. Some players only play like aggro decks. Maybe some people play slower decks. I can mulligan against them because I know what they usually play. That's what's nice. Yeah, it's nice to know what people generally play.
I mean, it's a lot different than standard, right? Because you go in and you're queuing up at standard Legend, you have no idea what the guy's going to play unless you're queuing into them again, because it's such a large player base. But you get in and you have 40-50% on your friends list of the people that you're playing against, you'll typically have an idea of what the games are. And I think it makes a pretty interesting community.
Yeah, I agree. I think just from a like tryharding standpoint, it's very cool that you actually know what deck you're playing against, so you have to mulligan very differently when you face Druid, depending on what Druid you think you're facing. There is a lot of, like, you have to know a lot more mulligans to play optimally when you know the deck you're playing against. But also just the Wild community as a whole is very, I like knowing all the people you play against and having them all on my friend list, discussing with them, having fun time, spectating them, and yeah, whatever. Instead of just playing against random guys every time you queue up. You can also discuss the games afterwards and stuff like that. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, being able to talk with people after games is definitely nice. Especially if you're, obviously, we're not too salty at each other. So you don't have that many rage ads once you get to a point after you play someone 6 or 7 times in a row. So what do you guys think of Blizzard's support of Wild? The last major Wild thing that happened was the Wild Open, which both of you had participated in. So what do you guys think about their general support of Wild? How did you like the tournament? Do you think that they need to do more stuff like that?
Oh, I don't think they would. They'll probably just do, it's probably an annual thing, the Wild tournament. As long as most players are focused on the standard, Wild's never going to be big.
Yeah, but that's just a cycle, right? Because people will not care about Wild until it matters.
Yeah.
No.
So like, I think every time they do something focused on Wild, I think it's cool. But some people may not like it, like the Wild Heroic role. I guess a lot of people didn't like that at all. I would like to see something like that again. I think the tournament was cool.
From the Wild Heroic Brawl. It was for a lot of the pro players, they don't like the Heroic Brawl in general. And when they had a different, like, wild perspective to it, it was a refreshing experience. At least that's what we had from one of our hosts, Ray. He was he's a pro player, and he actually really liked it. And I feel that a lot of the pro players felt it was different to at least get a little taste of wild, because obviously none of them had touched anything close to what wild had been for a while.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a great point about wild, that when people actually try it, most people enjoy it, because you will never be frustrated in the same way. I guess you could, but if you face a very bad matchup or there's a deck you want to counter, there's always a way to do it. And some people play with cards that they haven't touched for like 1.5 hours. No, years. But so I think wild is actually a very healthy format. You will never have a completely unplayable meta in wild like you have had in standard a couple of times. So that is, I think that's also why a lot of pro players actually enjoy it. And also when this wild open tournament was a thing, and I talked to a lot of pro players about lineups and how to qualify and stuff like that, and they all enjoyed the tournament and also the ladder grind to participate. So I think one of the biggest barriers is that pro players just can't waste time on it when it doesn't give points for the world championship.
Yeah, that makes
sense. It's fresh air for standard players to play wild in that moment. Like you face different decks, you can also build new decks. And there are like a lot of decks got refined when the pros came. A lot more players building decks. It was good for the WoW community.
Yeah, we definitely had some decks get refined. One of the things that I saw during that was Freeze Mage. A lot of people in Wild, at least, hadn't really refined Freeze Mage to a point, and a lot of the standard players came in saying, hey, Freeze Mage was big. A lot of people played your Control Shaman, Sippy. I saw a lot of people take that deck up, because they didn't have the equivalent standard.
There's like slightly different. It was like played Bolts, I remember, but it's very similar to Sippy's.
Yeah, and Ragnaros, and also the 5/5 taunts and stuff. It was not as greedy, and some people also swapped and tried my list instead. But yeah, I think like brawls like that is very cool, and they also you can buy the old adventures now, isn't that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, you can get packs. You have to buy them online though. You can't buy them in client.
Yeah, and you can't buy them with the in-game gold either.
Yeah, it has to be cash.
I think one thing I would like to see, and I haven't really found an argument against it, is just to let people buy wild packs, just with all wild expansions combined. You can get everything. I would like to see that at least.
Yeah, all you have to do is make some different tab in the thing where it's like, oh, here are all the standard packs, and then you have a little tab over where it says wild, and you can go and click on that and buy the wild cards. That's an interesting.
Yeah, something like that.
But before we go into the section where we'll say what you want to improve, that's a good improvement, but what's your opinions, both of you guys, on the change to Naga Sea Witch? How it had changed its effect, and I mean, the way that it was presented to us initially, how it just became as a surprise halfway through, someone figured it out, and then it slowly went into the metagame.
It was cool. It affected the meta for that moment a lot, where you had to tech your deck a little bit against it. But now, when we figured it out, it's there. You just play aggro decks to beat it. It's not really part of the meta anymore.
I actually didn't play at the time, like when people figured out it was a thing. I would love to see the first person who just saw, oh, it works like that. Holy shit. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really think it is a very cool change. And even though it's not a problem right now, I think it was just unfortunate because they wanted to change the mechanic and then they kind of made this broken RNG thing. Right now, I don't see the deck, so I can't say I dislike it at the moment. But also just them not telling us anything about it is very weird.
Yeah. And they nerfed I say the best giant deck was Druid, because Druid class cards were just good. They're like the strongest out of the other giants.
At that time.
Innervate and ability to just wreck aggro with Spreading Plague. I thought it was much more consistent than like the other giant decks.
Yeah, it was just ramp Druid that could just win on turn 5 and 3 and 4. So. Yep. It was just ramp Druid with much better cards than late game finishes.
So, as everyone knows, Ben Brode will always listen to our podcast. He'll go through, and if you had any advice that you wanted to give to Ben Brode, what would you say? How any changes to make Wild better, or something like a quality of life that Hearthstone might have that would be particular to Wild mode? What do you guys think that you would tell Ben Brode?
I think they should try to promote it more at some kind of tournament or some way, maybe some like less points for HTC, HCT, or ATC, maybe half, maybe half the points or something. So at least some players would play Wild, like some pro players. Make the community much bigger if they do so. And they could also like try to make Wild cheaper. Like some people suggested make crafting cards cost like maybe half as much.
Yeah, that could be.
I think those would be nice changes.
I think there are so many options, and I don't really know which one would be better, but either try to combine it with HCT, like as you said, give a little points in Wild, or maybe even make it 50-50 or something. I'm not sure what they do in Magic the Gathering, because they also have a lot of different formats. It could also just be to at least make some kind of world championship in the Wild format. It could just be one tournament, like they did earlier, but just make something every year that is just not a one-off, and make it easier to get access to Wild, so you don't have to craft every card with dust, because then the format will just die.
Yeah. All right, so let's wrap this up. We'd like to say thank you to our Patreons. The Real Ben and Karel, we want to say thank you to you guys. They're our well-met legends. You can join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/well-met. So this is the section of the show where we give shout-outs, and you can give your plug, so any contact information that you want, or Twitter, Twitch, anything like that. So let's start out with you, Awdragon. Do you have any shout-outs?
I have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/odddragon_. I stream every Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, usually, unless I have some situation. Usually about maybe 4 hours, four to six hours. And I have a Twitter, odddragonhs. Join. Watch your stream.
All right. You, Sippy Wing?
Yeah, I have a Twitter and a Twitch too. It's just SippyWing94. I'm not streaming that often right now, but maybe I will in the future. And otherwise, check out the Timberstorm meta snapshot. I think this one actually was very on point. So if you want to check a snapshot out, you should do it now instead of waiting. And thanks to my mom or something. I wouldn't be here without her.
Yeah. as for me, for my shout-outs, I want to give a big thank you to both of you guys for coming on the show. We really enjoyed having you on. It was a really good time. I also want to give a shout-out to one of our co-hosts, John. Setting up the show and running through the whole thing was a pain in the butt, and he normally does that every week, and that really opened my eyes. So, John, thank you so much for doing all this. And next week you're going to do it, because I'm not doing that again for a while. You can find me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS, and I also have a Twitch, which is DannyDonuts45. Alrighty, so any last words before we wrap it up, guys?
You above any.
Play wild, guys. Play wild. Join us.
Yeah, have some fun, guys. Alrighty. Well, thanks for joining us for episode 131 of Well Met. We typically record on Mondays at 7 p.m., but we didn't today. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can tweet us at wellmetpodcast or email us at our wellmet.blizzpro.com with any questions, comments, or ideas of your show. Thanks to Jake Butno for the sounders. And thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.